What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Serena Williams fell to Naomi Osaka in the Australian Open semifinals and still remains one Grand Slam shy of tying the all-time record. Serena was emotional at her press conference after answering questions about some of her errors in the match and whether she was saying farewell to the crowd at the end. Take a listen.
I don't know if I ever say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone. So
it was just one of those bad days at the office.
I don't know. I'm done.
Emotional. She later posted a thank you message to the fans in Australia saying, quote, "I am forever in debt and grateful to each and every single one of you. I love you." Shannon, is the end near for Serena?
Yes, and she knows it. It wasn't a bad game, Skip. Naomi Osaka is better at this age now. When Serena Williams looks across the court, she should see a younger Serena Williams.
I agree.
The girl can out-hit her. Mm-hmm. She can move better. And all the things that Serena could do to her opponents back in the day, Skip, Serena could find, could summon that thing mm-hmm. where she could go to that big serve, and then all of a sudden she would break you, and then she'd run out 7-8, and the game would be over.
Yep.
That's what Naomi Osaka can do to her now. Mm-hmm. It's not, Serena can still, you saw she beat Simona Halep. Mm-hmm. She can win. But the thing is, Skip, you gotta be on your A game for 6 matches. Mm-hmm. And it's, as you age, it gets harder and harder to do that. Because these girls, Skip, her idol, Naomi Osaka's idol was Serena. She's 16 years a junior. Mm-hmm. Serena's 39. This young lady is 23.
Yep.
And can hit with the power that Serena hit with. Skip it. Serena, it's okay. I know she wants 24 mm-hmm. so bad, Skip. Mm-hmm. But Serena, you've had a baby. Things mm-hmm. change after motherhood. You play an mm-hmm. athletic sport. And the thing is, Serena was power. Not only was Serena the most powerful woman, she can move better. Now as we start to age, Skip, we don't move with the same freeness. Mm-hmm. We don't have the same level of power. Same thing happened with Fed. Skip, we see it. And that's the hardest thing for an athlete to come to terms with. My mortality in said sport. Mm-hmm. She knows it. Skip, the writing's on the wall. No one has to tell Serena. Mm. And you see what happens, Skip? She has to play with less frequency because the body can't recover. Mm-hmm. As we start to age, Skip, we don't have the recoverability. So we can't play a match. We can't play a tournament here and then play. Skip off, play. Mm-hmm. You see she's pulling out more and more, but you need that conditioning to be able to play. It's just a matter of time. I mean, like she said, she doesn't want to say it. Nobody wants to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. And we're almost at the end.
Okay. I will agree the clock is ticking because, as we all know, the sport of tennis is a young person's sport.
Yeah.
It's young men, young women.
Skip, it used to be at 30 years of age, hey, all the greats were done.
Done. She's 39, to your point. She hasn't won a Grand Slam since this Australian Open 4 years ago
yeah.
when she was already pregnant. So now her daughter is going on 4 years of age.
Olympia.
Okay. And to your point, I completely agree. Naomi got off. I watched the whole match last night. She got off to a jittery start because she's still... It's like her idol's
right.
net, and it's a little bit daunting to say, that's Serena. I was a little kid, and I was saying, mm-hmm. that's Serena. Mm-hmm. And once she shook it off, she lost it. She got broken right away. And so she's down two games. And then all of a sudden she said, okay, here we go. And once she locked in, she's just a little more powerful than Serena is right now. And Serena got overpowered and, I never thought I'd say this, overmatched. Right.
Yes.
Because Naomi was taking balls quicker and she was just returning them harder. She didn't serve great, but she didn't really need to serve great. Because she's just a little better at being Serena than Serena is right now.
Right.
But I am here to say, I'm not going to write Serena off. I don't know what's in her heart and her head because you got to want this because it is a huge sacrifice and commitment.
Well, Skip,
but I'm not yet ready to write her off.
Skip, it gets harder as we age to be able to put the practice time in. And then conditioning becomes a factor.
It does. I got it. What I would do if I'm Serena, I will bet you she will take this path. Skip the French. You don't need to. It's obviously on dirt.
Yeah, it's too grueling.
It's too grueling on your body, sliding after everything. So just skip the French. Play a grass tournament or two leading up. There are lots you can play leading into Wimbledon in London, obviously. And I'll give her a shot. On the fast grass at Wimbledon, I will give her a shot because now she'll be re-inspired. I'm going to take a shot here.
Could she win? A lot's going to have to do. Is somebody going to upset Osaka? Is somebody going to
nip Halep? Maybe.
Are they going to be on opposite sides of the draw? Because think about what she had to come through. She had to go through Osaka just to get to the finals.
Yep.
She had a girl that was ranked seven in the world.
Yeah,
and she won, and this young lady won the French. So look at what she had to come through. So yeah, Skip, if you get somebody to knock somebody off and knock somebody off, and that's what you was hoping when the men play, Skip.
Yep.
And now if somebody can knock off Joker, knock off Fed, knock off the doll, I got a chance to win.
And sometimes that happens.
Yes.
Sometimes you need that to happen. See last year's Lakers, right?
Man, there you go.
You need the Nuggets to eliminate the Clippers so that you don't get eliminated by the Clippers,
Skip,
right?
Serena. I can make a case Serena is the greatest athlete of all time.
Well, there's it's no interesting. Question. Her husband wore a T-shirt that wasn't last night, but the previous match, I saw him wearing a T-shirt that said, greatest female athlete ever, ? No, greatest athlete. That was his T-shirt, and I was like, you can make a case.
And that's the thing, Skip. And I know how bad she won 24 because she's so close. Skip. Serena used to be, look here, if Serena made it to the semifinals, go ahead and start etching her name on the trophy because you weren't beating her.
Yeah.
But as she started to age and she had a baby and then motherhood and then other things, is she devoting the same level of time? Because she got a brand now, the clothing line I see on Home Shopping Network.
Yep.
She got a daughter now. Mm-hmm. She's a mother. Mm-hmm. She's a wife.
Yeah.
Skip, I mean, you know, that's...
But none of that precludes her, if she wants to, doing what she's done so many times, saying, okay, watch this.
You got to sacrifice that, though.
Okay, you got to sacrifice.
You got to sacrifice.
Okay, I hear you, but I still think she... I saw enough of her at the Aussie Open to say... She's still pretty good. So she's lost her last four finals now.
Yes.
But she got to the finals,
But okay. Skip, if you look at she's losing the finals aren't close. Mm. Halep beat her 6-2, 6-2 at Wimbledon.
Yeah, and this was not close.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 6-3, 6-4, but when you look at it, the way that girl can hit through the ball, Serena, and just have Serena running all over the court.
Yep. And I felt bad for Serena because she spent half the match berating herself or even laughing at herself. Right. Like, what are you
doing? Come on, play your game.
Yeah. And right.
Skip, you're playing your game, but this girl is better at playing her game now than you are at playing yours.
Hey, Serena Williams is as mentally tough as she decides. I still believe she could decide and go win Wimbledon, but she'd have to really get mad and commit.
Skip, that girl just better.
Yep.
That's just, and yet for the longest time, Serena was just better. No woman had a serve like Serena. No woman could move like Serena, hit with the power, the forehand, the backhand. She had it all, and the mental side of it. Now, that's Osaka now, Skip. When you look across the court, you see a young Serena.
Yep. I will say this about the sport of tennis. The great thing about it is, back to the days I started covering Wimbledon, where I went a number of times, always the marquee matchup would be Navratilova versus Chris
Your
Evert.
Favorite. Yep.
And the women are always more compelling than the men. Right. Because last night, that was the showcase right. event of yeah. this Australian yeah. Open to me.
But for what her and Venus skipped, when I was a kid, yep. basically you had Zena Garrison and you had Lori McNeil. Those were the yeah. black tennis players.
Yeah.
But now you see Venus Serena. Oh. You see Naomi Osaka, Sloane Stephens.
You do.
Taylor Townsend. Oh. You see all these Coco Gauff, the Madison Keys.
Because of the Williams sisters.
100%. Yep. I'm so glad we're talking about this. And I think about growing up and being a Serena fan, and it's like she gave you the confidence that you could be as good as the boys. And it sounds weird to say, but it was like, well, Serena can do
it. Serena been on this tour since 98. Skip it 2021.
Incredible. She is inspiring. Yes. She's 39. She's a mom. I mean, she's the GOAT in my eyes, guys. If I have to say it, because we talk about GOATs on the show plenty, but we got to have Serena Williams in the conversation. It was emotional last night, but maybe a passing of the torch as well to Osaka, who's going to be fun to watch.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com, reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Former Patriots teammate Kyle Van Noy said Tom Brady would often trash talk during practice, but would always win the battle. Van Noy said he understood where Tyrann Mathieu was coming from in the Super Bowl because he was, quote, talking big cash to Tom Brady, and it caught up to him because Brady scored on him and let him know. The former Patriot also said Brady's trash talk, quote, gives me chills thinking about it because it reminds me of Michael Jordan in his documentary. So, Shannon, are you buying the comparison to MJ?
No, I'm not buying the documentary. That comparison, Skip, you know Mike was Mike. Mike did what he did. Mike's like, dunking on, he dunked on John Stockton, and the guy said, hey, why don't you pick on somebody your own side? So he steals the ball and dunks on 6'11 Melvin Turpin. He's like that. He's like Dikembe Mutombo. I will close my eyes and shoot this free throw. That's what Mike did. The great Larry Bird. And they say Larry Bird was even greater trash talker and more of a trash talker than Michael Jordan. Skip, look, I get it. Tom Brady, you know, hey, I'm going to throw maybe Honey Badger, like, yeah, I got you. Didn't realize it was a flag. Tom's like, I'm going to throw a touchdown on you. But that Tom ain't talking trash at the beginning of the game. If Tom wants to impress me, come out there when he comes out the tunnel and he runs down the field to my let's go. Go down there and say, I'm going to throw a touchdown on you. I'm going to throw a touchdown on you. I'm throwing for 350 yards on all of y'all. Because that's what I did. I run by him. I say, I'm going to beat you for like 25. I'm going to score a touchdown on you. And I'm going to give it to you the whole second half. Now, shut your you-know-what up. Mm. That's what I do. I talk to him like that, Skip Baylor. Mm. I told Earl Holmes, we playing them in Pittsburgh. I say, you the weak link. We going to take advantage of you. Joy part of them, we ain't fooling with them. But you, oh, we going to house you. They beat us, but I was talking trash the whole game, though, Skip.
But they beat you.
They beat us. They got it.
I'm glad you added that note.
They had a better team. They were low. And as a matter of fact, Skip, that was the year they lost to New England in the championship game. Yeah. That was that year. But Skip, look, I get it. Skip, that's not Tom Brady's MO. Yeah, Skip, you know, the guy said something in Pittsburgh and he ran way down the field. And it's easier to talk now for a quarterback because they're so protected. But you know, when you covered the league, wasn't no quarterbacks talking no trash ever. If you threw a touchdown pass on somebody, you kept your mouth shut, you ran off the field because they would lay you out. Tom knows he's heavily protected now. So he might do a little, I mean, might say a little something. Like what we see Phillip Rivers do, that would have never, ever flew in the 80s and 90s. But now, Skip, they're protected. You can't hit them high. You can't hit them low. You can't land your weight on them. You can't do a lot of different things. But I still don't look at Tom Brady as the trash talker, the in-your-face type of guy that Jordan was. Skip, you know Jordan. I mean, he went into the game looking to start some foolishness, talk crazy in people's face, and did not back down. He went at Reggie Miller, him and Xavier McDaniel was face-to-face, and we know the battles that he and the Bad Boy Pistons had. Mm-hmm. So I don't look at it like that. Is he as intense of a competitor as Jordan? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But the trash talking, nah, I don't see that. Mm.
Okay, to your point about Jordan, it was much more in your face. I've told you stories that in 1998, one time, Vashawn Leonard, remember him from the Heat?
Yeah, I do.
The Heat had just wiped out the Bulls at Miami about a month earlier. This is in February, maybe. They come to the United Center. Vashawn Leonard is back every time that the Bulls are shooting free throws, so he has to go to the far free throw line and just stand waiting to play defense, right? While his teammates shooting a free throw.
Right.
Jordan wouldn't line up with the Bulls to get the rebound. He would go back with Vashawn and just lean over. Vashawn was like 6'2 or 3 maybe, Jordan 6'6. He would lean over the whole time the free throws are shot and just talk in his ear, like telling him, you ain't, you know what, because Vashawn Leonard had made the mistake after the wipeout game that they wiped out the Bulls in Miami of talking about, we knew we could do this and that and the other, and it was over.
Right.
And I think Jordan scored 50-ish that night. It's just classic, but he did this a lot.
Well, kind of like the back-to-back they had against the Bullets at the time when LeBradford Smith scored 37. LeBradford didn't even say anything. That was the media hyping up. Jordan went for 36 and a half against him the next game.
Okay, I got it. It's more out front. It's more visible. But I still think you are underestimating Psycho Tom. He's got this crazed alter ego in there that can go over the edge if you trash talk him first. He's not going to initiate the way you initiate.
Right, or Jordan initiated.
Yes, they, and so did Larry Bird.
Yeah.
In fact, Mark Aguirre used to tell me when I was covering the Mavericks, nobody could trash talk like Larry Bird because he would try to belittle you into, like just cut your legs out from
Skip,
under
he told, he
personal
told,
insults.
Skip, he told a coach, he said, don't put no white guy on me. That's disrespectful to my talent. He said, he could be black, he could be Asian, he could be yellow, but don't put the white guy. That's disrespectful to me.
It's the truth. Ugh. Some of the stories I could tell that won't work on television, I have to keep to myself. But I loved what Kyle Van Noy said because in practice, it could get very heated. And he talked about when Gronk, it looked like he was going to be traded, and then he's back at practice, and he's still a Patriot. And all of a sudden, Brady and Gronk are just lighting up the defense, and they're giving it to him verbally as well as physically.
Right.
And as he said, you know, they were talking big trash to us, and we couldn't say bleep back to him because it was like, you guys are beating our ass and letting us know about
yes.
it. Well, that is that. He's that guy's in there, that Tom Brady. So you don't want to provoke him if you can help it. And he's saying it gave me chills watching the Super Bowl because I didn't think of Jordan sitting in his locker before the game with the baseball bat
right.
and a cigar. You know, and he's just like squeezing the sawdust out of the baseball bat, thinking about what he's going to do to somebody who made the mistake of saying something about him when the ball's tipped up.
I think Brady's trash talk on the field, Skip, is in retaliation when you trash talk to him. So you're like,
correct.
Okay. Like the guy from Pittsburgh, Skip. Remember, he said, I'm going to have me a pick, and we're going to do this against Brady.
Well, he guaranteed they would win.
Right.
And it was during the undefeated year at Foxborough. Pittsburgh will win, I guarantee.
Right. Flea flicker, like the first play of the game.
Okay.
And then Brady racing down the field and all in the guy's face.
Okay. So what happened on the play in question? Well, it first happened that there was a tipped interception that Honey Badger came up with.
Right.
And he jumps up celebrating, and... There's an off the ball hold on Mike Evans that nullifies the play.
Because he's thinking, Skip, I got a pick on Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. So I've been, I got me a pick.
Okay, so Brady went Jordan-esque because he didn't like the way that Honey Badger was celebrating.
Right.
And he's like, oh, okay, watch this. And so they drive it all the way down, and then he runs a little in and out.
They run real wild on him.
Yeah, and they score on Honey Badger, and he's going to let him know about it, and it went over the edge.
Right.
And I told you the next day, he deserved a flag as well.
Right.
They both should have been flagged, should have been offsetting, and I don't know why. I guess it's after you win six, you get that much respect during a Super Bowl.
Right.
But remember what Tyrann Mathieu said after the game, I'd never seen Tom like that.
Right.
Well, then you haven't watched closely enough because he's got that in him. Again, ultimate wolf in sheep's clothing because off the field, he looks like just some dad next door. He can be nerdy. He can be corny. But he's got that gear in him, and it's profane. It's you're going to get all the choice words.
That was Skip, what used to bother me is that the guy dropped the DB. He'll bat the ball down, and he stand up over you like that's not his job. I said, okay, I got something for you. I catch a touchdown. I said, now do that what you just did the play before, boy.
Okay, all right. So, good. So what did LeSean McCoy say? We had a group text going, all the skill players, about 10 of us, and leading up to the Super Bowl or any big game, he's texting everybody saying, hey, so-and-so DB. He likes to press, but he can't run.
Right.
He likes to grab and hold, but he can't run.
Right.
So we're going to take advantage of it.
Yes.
He's breaking down the tape that he's watching. So he's trash-talking internally to inspire his skill players.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do it until he gets provoked during the game.
No. I got to let you know. You're terrible.
Mm.
You terrible. Why you think they play the coverage that they play? Because you the weak link and you need help.
Okay.
So you doing all the talking. He's some good. You terrible. Why he should be talking, not you.
Mm. Well, I still say Honey Badger pushed the wrong button. And he paid for it because he who laughs last.
Laugh louder. Skip, here's the thing, though. But Honey Badger didn't know there was a penalty. Skip, I got to think about it. If you catch a touchdown in the Super Bowl, your immediate reaction is to celebrate. Now, we've seen guys catch touchdowns, and all of a sudden there's a flag. You're like, oh, man, I done did this nice dance. I done had my celebration. So Honey Badger, like, I picked Tom Brady. I'm going to tell my kids, my grandkids, I got a pick on Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tom did like job, like, what you celebrating for? You don't see that flag?
Yeah.
Hey, Honey Badger. And then he's like, okay, hey, AB, go run that whip right on it.
Okay. I still say Tom Brady has one screw loose in a good way that you don't give him credit for. He's got that one psycho Tom screw.
Well, Skip, he got the best team and he protected.
Hmm.
So stop pretending like he ain't no trash talker like Jordan and Kobe.
I think he was more than you think, even when he was in New England.
No mercy.
The Lakers host the Nets tonight in what many are predicting will be a finals preview. LeBron will still be without Anthony Davis, but the Nets will be missing Kevin Durant for this one. And Staples, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden are expected to play. Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider Chris Haynes joins us now. Chris, it's been too long. I got to start by asking you, how important is tonight for LeBron's MVP case?
Well, Jenny, I'm glad you brought me on. I'm pretty sure it was all your idea to talk some sense here on this discussion. Glad to be back. But look, let me talk about this. Whenever we're talking about MVP candidates and looking at their resumes during that season, we tend to look at marquee games and marquee matchups. And the Brooklyn Nets, it doesn't get no bigger than that. Now, I will say with Kevin Durant being out, I think that takes a lot of the firepower away from what could happen with LeBron when it comes to his MVP candidacy. But I will say this, he has a lot to carry right now. And if he is able to defeat the Brooklyn Nets and play spectacular and particularly outplay James Harden and Kyrie Irving, then look, this can do nothing but bode well as a voter, as a voter. I will look back on some of these marquee matchups, these marquee games, and this could be one of those games I look back on that could it sway it or not. I don't know, but it's something to look forward to. But I will say this, I don't want to get too much off topic, but there's a guy by the name of Damian Lillard over there in Portland who is heating it up, has the Portland Trailblazers in fourth right now. So LeBron, I say he's carrying a load, but he's not carrying the same load that Damian Lillard is without C.J. McCollum and Jusuf Nurkic. So LeBron, it's probably his to win right now. If I'm doing an MVP ranking, probably number one LeBron because they're number two in the West. You got to look at guys like Joel Embiid is doing over in the East, number one in the East. But, there's a lot to gain from this game. But I wouldn't say it's all in. It's going to all in with tonight's affair.
I agree, Dame, with the Dame Lillard situation. I tweeted that last night at some point in time. We're going to have to mention his name in the MVP discussion. But I think the biggest thing that LeBron has working in his favor, Chris, is that he's playing these games and he's winning these games without Anthony Davis. Because Lord was saying, oh, he had AD, he had AD. If he can continue to win, keep them in the two seed. Skip and I got a couple of cases bet that they were going to go 6-3 in this 9-game stretch, which we would believe at least 9 games without Anthony Davis. If he can go 6-3, he can go 7-9 and do what he's been doing, I don't see how he would have not done anything to lose any ground in the MVP race. So with that saying, winning is going to be the most important caveat for his MVP. LeBron's going to be LeBron. The thing that I hate is that it's stressing his minutes because he was trying to keep those minutes around 33, 34, Skip. And for the better part of 12, 13 games, he was at about 32 minutes a game. And then all of a sudden it went to 33, went to 34. And so now we're starting to see an uptick in his minutes and we're going to see even more of that because there is no more AD and he's going to have to take on more of the scoring load and more of the rebounding load, hence the 13 defensive rebounds. So LeBron's going to be LeBron. We're going to win this game tonight, and we're going to be 2-0 without AD since he's been out 5-1 already without AD.
So I have one quick question for both of you. Can LeBron James get any breaks or what?
What breaks?
He gets to duck the Clippers in the bubble last year, and then he gets the 5 seed from the East. He gets the Heat, and in game one, they lose arguably their 2 best players at that moment, Dragic, who was leading them in playoff scoring, and bam, their heart and soul, they're gone in game one. How lucky are you there? And then we get to what we thought was going to be the marquee matchup of this regular season at Staples, the new Nets, the nothing but Nets. But they don't have the best player on the planet. There's no Kevin Durant.
So let me ask you a question, Skip. If I had told you before the beginning of the season, there was going to be a game between the Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James, with Kyrie Irving and James Harden, would you have said that would have been a marquee matchup?
Well, not bigger than if it would just been KD and Kyrie, I'd say that'd be a marquee matchup.
So they don't have AD. So what do you think about that? Is that a break for LeBron? He doesn't have AD.
I think LeBron should win this game. They're favored to win this game. And I think the pressure has actually mounted on LeBron tonight because I think everybody will expect him to win this game. You expect him to win this game. I believe Chris expects him
even
to win this game.
Even if KD was there, I would have expected him to win.
I wouldn't because that's his nemesis. That is the man who shot it right in his grill, in his house, to win the MVP in game threes back-to-back in the finals.
Did he do that? What was that? OKC when he did that, right?
Who?
KD.
He was with the Warriors.
But
did the Warriors not need him? Did they not beg him to come and save them they blew that 3-1 lead?
Skip, it was a perfect match. It was a perfect match. They needed him. He needed them.
Okay. So, Chris, I give you this. LeBron is leading the MVP race by default because, listen, the guy I saw last night and I watched the whole game, that 7-foot monster in Philadelphia, he is something, but he hasn't played enough games. So you dock him for that because he did play without Ben Simmons last night, and he was spectacular, albeit against the Rockets. But listen, Boogie had no chance against Joel Embiid last night.
No.
So Chris, how much do you have LeBron ahead in the MVP race, and why do you have him ahead?
I have him ahead right now simply for their placement and the fact that, you know, a lot of people didn't think, you know, he would be able to play at a level right now. Most people thought AD at some point, whether it was last season or this season, will take over the threshold of carrying the offense. But LeBron James is still doing it, and the Lakers are playing at a high level. To me, Skip Shannon, there's no clear-cut MVP favorite right now. It's in flux right now. If I have to pick my top three candidates right now, I mean, a couple weeks ago, it was Nikola Jokic. You know, he was in that top three. Denver has slid a little bit. I believe they're 7th or 8th right now. I got to go with right now LeBron number one by hair, Joel Embiid, Damian Lillard. And Damian he's catching guys. But LeBron has a hair. And he has a golden opportunity right now to show people that he can still carry a team in the Western Conference, keep them in the top two in the West, without AD being there for a long period of time. It's going to be hard to overlook that if he continues at that pace.
Okay, so Chris, quick questions. Does it bother you at all when it comes to LeBron's MVP case that he is second in the league in turnovers and he's about to track down Luka, who's first? Does it bother you that in the month of February, LeBron in 8 games is shooting 28% from the 3-point line because he's fallen way off that hot streak that he was on? He's now 14 of 50 in February from the 3-point line. Do those two facts, stats, bother you?
Well, it would bother me if they're losing. It would bother me. But I will say this, Skip. I don't look too much into percentages. I look at the impact. Because as we've seen, there's a lot of players that play in this league that you look at the numbers and you look, wow, but they have no impact on the game. I don't think anybody can make the case that LeBron James doesn't have an impact on the game. There might be a night where he has 8 or 9 turnovers. I mean, he just shoulders so much of the offensive load of getting guys involved. That kind of comes with the territory. So to answer your question, unless this team is losing, unless it translates to that, then I have to look at those numbers and say, this is the reason why. But if he's making a great impact on the game and they're winning, I can't hold that against them.
Okay. And then flip it around on the Nets. Are your doubts rising about their ability to win the Eastern Conference now that those big three have played only 6 games together? It's 7 that they were actually in the game. But remember, KD got yanked out of that game.
Kobe.
I'm not going to count that one. So it's 6 games those three have played together so far.
That's definitely concerning and alarming. But I will say this. I wouldn't say I'm more so concerned about that because I think at the end of the day, they'll all be there when it's time to really play. I'm talking about the postseason. I give the Nets a better shot now, not because of what they've been able to do on the court, but I give them a better shot now in the East because Milwaukee has disappointed me to this point.
Oh, my goodness.
And if Milwaukee isn't up to the standards that we all thought they would be, they're supposed to have improved, especially with the acquisition of Jrue Holiday. But if they don't reach that level that we thought, I don't see anybody over in the East aside from Philly, not to disrespect Philly, but there's not many teams out there that can really, you could say in a 7-game series, that can give it to Brooklyn. So But Milwaukee's disappointing start, you know, I kind of favor the Nets a little bit more than I did early on.
I like Philly also, but the question is, Skip, you know, come playoff time, you play every other day. Can Ben Simmons give me 40 and 20 every other day? Now, I know in game one, after a 2 or 3 day layoff, he gonna probably give it to somebody that first game out the box. But then you start playing every other day. And we've seen, Skip, come playoff time, we've seen Joel Embiid miss games. You know, his tum-tum is hurt, you know, something going on with that. The baby carriage wasn't good enough for him. So that's what's concerning about me. We know the Nets. Those three guys, the firepower, but you got to make them pay on the other end, Skip. You got, because look, they're looking to outscore you. 130, if they can win a game, 130, 128, oh, so be it, as long as we won the ball game. And so that's my, they're not going to have the problem, because we believe that was the problem with the Clippers. They really never got a chance to play together, Skip. But even if they had played together, they don't possess the firepower that the Brooklyn Nets got. Nope. Nobody. I don't believe, like I said, nobody has had this kind of firepower, Skip, what they can do.
Okay, but do not sleep on that team in the basement at Staples. Do not sleep on the Clippers.
Guess what again? Paul George hurt again. What's Kawhi doing again? Chris Haynes hurt again. Mm. Pat Bev, all he do is cheerlead. He spray pulled a hamstring, cheering, jumping so high. Mm. Hold it up. Go, team, go.
And they're so deep, they can win without those guys.
I can't tell you, they win last night?
No.
Okay, then.
They won three quarters last night. Well.
We at the top, Skip. Mm. I mean, we're looking. Do you want them to see our rings? Well, y'all saw them open tonight. We showed them to y'all open tonight. We got these courtesy of you guys.
Really? I took one to the jeweler, a jeweler friend of mine. He said it's cubic zirconia.
Oh, see, there you go. Hey, Chris, you see what I'm saying, Chris?
Chris, he's been saying that for months. It's not okay.
He a hater.
It's insulting, too, that ring. That ring is beautiful. Oh, I would love that. Shannon, did you get yours yet? I got one coming.
Yeah, I saw Mike Trudell got one. Oh, I'm going to be getting one, too.
Yes. Okay, I just want to make sure you're covered there. Chris, it's always such a pleasure.
Thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it, Chris.
We'll check in with you soon. No mercy.